into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Hello there, you're very welcome along to Monday evening's Off the Ball. Great to have you with us. Joe Malloy with you through until 10 o'clock. The Gordon Elliott controversy, you won't be surprised to hear, looms large today, and it will on the show this hour as well. Investigation continues, there's widespread condemnation. We're talking about that shortly with Johnny Ward and Richard Forrestal. Brian O'Driscoll on the way after 8 o'clock. Monday Night Rugby, an Irish win. An Irish win to talk about, thank God. I don't care if it's Italy anymore. It's just nice not to have to analyse an Irish loss for one weekend. So that's on the way at 8. And then the football show, we have Roy Keane and Jamie Redknapp. No, we don't. We tried. Pat Nevin and Brian Kerr, 53106, the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormack, hello.
Young Joe, how are you?
Very well. Adrian Barry, good to have you with us.
Take a breath, Joe. Just take a breath.
Yeah. Dave Jones weighing in as if Redknapp had lost his cool and Roy Keane was calmly just shooting down all his points like a magician. I mean, that was not my reading of the situation at all. But take a breath, Jamie, calm down. Roy, you're fine. So there is one topic of conversation, I suspect, if you're a sports fan, aside from that conversation yesterday over the last 24 hours, and that's the Gordon Elliott situation. It's the top of your news round, Richie, so I suggest we get straight into your news round on Off the Ball and News Talk. It's with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made of what matters. Bring us the latest. Where are we?
Yeah, Gordon Elliott said to be cooperating fully with an IHRB investigation into the photo of him taking a call while sitting astride a dead horse. Horse Racing Ireland say they unreservedly condemn the disturbing image, while the British Horse Racing Authority says the image undermines the industry. Elliott apologised for any offence caused by the picture last night, which came to light over the weekend. But Jiggins Town House stud owner Michael O'Leary says he will continue to support Elliott. O'Leary, who enjoyed Cheltenham Gold Cup and Grand National success with the Meath trainer, said in a statement today that the care and welfare of all of our animals comes first, but he adds that he believes it was a momentary lapse of judgment and that he accepts the apology. An emotional Mick Fitzgerald addressed the issue today on At the Races.
It's making me quite emotional because these horses have given me a life that I'm privileged to have. I've been in situations where horses that I have looked after and ridden have unfortunately, you know, paid the ultimate sacrifice in our sport. And the care and attention they get right till the very end, we have to emphasise to everybody watching that it's so important that people know that we care for these horses.
They are the superstars. At the end of the day, they are the stars of the sport, aren't they?
And well, they are. And we want to celebrate them and make them realise how much that we care for them and how much they are loved by everybody in the sport.
Yeah, they were good words by Mick Fitzgerald, and the emotion to match was almost reassuring, I think. It's worth remembering, Adrian, when this image first surfaced, the conversation around it was, is this real? Because this image was so grotesque, frankly. Surely it's a fake. This is so far over the line. There is no way that someone charged with looking after hundreds of horses would behave this way. This must be a fake. That was how this started.
Yeah, it's terrible, and there's Mick Fitzgerald, I watched that earlier on, and you couldn't put as fine a point on it as he's done, and I know you've a couple of speakers coming up later on, and I wouldn't have much to add in that regard, but I would say that I think it's a crucial 24, 48 hours now for racing in this country and in Britain as well. They're so closely tied together. I think that certainly I would go as far as to say that almost every conversation I had today, whether professionally or personal life, family, friends, people who wouldn't utter a word about racing from one end of the year to the other and know nothing about it, not even passive observers. They know the ins and outs of this. Everybody's heard about it. It's on front pages. It's leading news stories up and down the country and beyond. Everybody's heard a different rumor about it. Some of those have been bent out of all sorts of shape. People, as I said, no thoughts about it at all, have been appalled by the photograph and intrigued by, as I said, the rumor and counter rumor that's gone on about it. And as we await the latest developments, obviously, as well, from the various authorities. But you can dress it up whatever way you want. It's a damaging day and a damaging 48 hours for racing, and it'll be interesting to see the reaction to it, because it needs to come. The reaction, I think, needs to be swift.
And from racing people, I think, as well. In Gordon Elliott's statement, he apologised, and he conceded that after an initial viewing of the photo, you might think it's a callous and staged photo, but nothing he says could be further from the truth. So the explanation he gave, if you hadn't heard or read his statement earlier, is, I quote, "I was standing over the horse waiting to help with the removal of the body, in the course of which, to my memory, I received a call. Without thinking, I sat down to take the call. As for the gesture he makes in the picture, he says, hearing a shout from one of my team, I gestured to wait until I was finished. And he accepted that this explanation will not allay the concerns of many people, Richie."
Yeah, it's I read the statement last night when it came out, and I thought it was quite poor. I didn't think there was enough of an effort made to accept the optics of that photo. It's his explanation of it. I don't know how much credence we can put in it. But like Adrian mentioned there, this now goes far beyond racing. The people I know who don't talk about the sport or would have no interest in the sport now will associate horse racing with it's that thing where your man sat on the dead horse. They don't care where, they don't care how, they don't care about his reputation, they don't care how many races he's won or how many big races he's won. This is the prism through which Gordon Elliott will now be viewed to a vast swathe of the population, both in racing and without, and of the general public as well, of how they view racing as a sport as a whole. And it's kind of incumbent on the authorities to deal with this properly. He was allowed to have runners in today here at home. I'm hearing from Mike Vince this evening, who'd know about these things, saying the British Horse Racing Authority will not allow Gordon Elliott to race horses in Britain whilst the Irish authorities investigate that image that appeared on social media over the weekend. So the British Horse Racing authorities, they're definitely wanting to keep him at arm's length until this comes to its conclusion, however that's going to land. But there's no way that in anyone's eyes that he can escape strong censure for this, because it's just like, I can't see, even from his explanation in the statement, I can't see how, without thinking, he sat down. He's sitting on a dead horse. It's like he knows well what he's doing in his head if he's sitting down to take a call. It's not as if he's sitting on a wall. It's not as if he's sitting on a log out in his yard. He knows well enough where he is. He knows what he's doing. And further to that as well, the person who thought it was appropriate to take a photo like that and then circulate it, I hope they're properly dealt with as well in all of this, because like, it shows you what might be in his employ on his yard again, you know?
Yeah, that thought has crossed my mind as well. It wasn't addressed in his statement, but so, and we'll tease it out later on. We have Johnny Ward and Richard Forrestal coming on, but so his explanation is his explanation. And I agree with you. I don't know how much credence that should be given, frankly, was my opinion when I read it last night. But then there's a point not addressed in his statement, and it speaks of the culture in the yard and the reaction of those around him. They are not all pointing at Gordon Elliott saying, "Gordon, without thinking, to use his phrase, you've absentmindedly sat on a dead horse." There's a gentleman next to him with his arms folded, looks pretty relaxed. And then one of them deems this a photo opportunity. One of them calls Elliot's attention. That person then takes the picture. That person then shares it online, or somebody close to that person shares it online. Elliot's the CEO here. He sets the culture. And a member of his staff in his company felt it was on safe territory to take that photo. So there are now question marks over the culture in the yard, Adrian, I put it to you.
Yeah, well, we don't know who took the photograph, Joe. It's pure speculation to say that maybe it was a member of the staff. Maybe nobody knows. And maybe it'll come out at some point or another. Who knows? But
I'm suspecting it wasn't a total stranger.
I would say you're right. I would say you're right. But whether that makes it a member of staff or not, who knows?
Fair point.
So we'll see. And look at
that needs to be established.
The culture is a fair point. But who took and spread the photograph in the context of what's going on, as far as I'm concerned, is not the story.
It's a big part of the story, actually. It's a big part of the story. That's the atmosphere there. There's a dead horse there. That's the atmosphere.
No, but I mean, that's assuming that it's a member of staff who took the photograph. I have no idea. It may or it may not have been. If it was, I agree. You're right. There's a question about the culture there. I think that question exists regardless. That's just.
Oh, it does totally. Because if it's not a member of staff, it's still someone presumably. I'm going to say presumably familiar to Elliot, who's in Elliot's yard. This has just happened, and they deemed, yeah, this will be okay if I do this. So, staff member, or just an affiliate, or just a friend, it all speaks to the same thing. The welfare animals, the respect that they're being afforded.
Oh, look, I agree with that, John. I'm not disputing that at all. And I think those questions are for Gordon Elliott.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't addressed in a statement. That was the point. Where do you think this goes from here then? Do we see Gordon Elliott at Cheltenham?
It would seem doubtful at this stage, wouldn't it? It would seem extremely doubtful. As Richie said, he had riders today. He's tweeted in the last 20 minutes with some photographs of some of his horses in action there. And a slightly bizarre tweet in the day that's in it, I'm not going to lie. I would think that you would have to assume that the action is going to be, is going to have to happen in the next couple of days, right? And look at where you're into reams of speculation after that as to whether there'll be some sort of a suspension or whatever. So we'll see. I would say Cheltenham is going to happen without Gordon Elliott, you would have to assume, this year, John.
Well, we'll talk to Johnny Ward and Richard Forrestal this hour. We will continue the news round the latest over in France, Richie.
Yeah, French Sports Minister Roxana Marcignano says their credibility in terms of sport in the country is at stake. It was revealed last night that head coach Fabien Galthié had in fact breached the France COVID bubble. The 51-year-old had left to watch his son play rugby. Barely 48 hours before that confirmation, French rugby president Bernard Laporte had said that Galthié had told him that he hadn't left the bubble. But Laporte says Galthié retains his full support. A coronavirus outbreak in the French camp, which included Galthié, forced the postponement of their Six Nations meeting with Scotland. Marcignano is now awaiting an internal FFO report, which is due to her in midweek.
Okay. That seems to be a mess as well. Galthié is rejecting all these claims, Adrian. He's saying, look, I didn't break any protocol. Whether he did or didn't, it's hard to know how it gets into the camp. I mean, it's an airborne disease and you can have a moment of bad luck as well as a moment of carelessness. So I don't know. The French government are talking a big game here, though. I mean, I think they were reluctant enough for the participation to begin with after what had happened in the Champions Cup. So, God, I don't know. Could we have a situation where the French are saying, nah, Six Nations, plug, pulled?
Of all the nations in the world to potentially do that, France might be top of that list. Like you were saying there, I was surprised I definitely foresaw a scenario not long before the Six Nations began that they would just say, listen, we're out. You guys are off the scale and we weren't in a good position at that point in terms of COVID. And so we're out. You carry on. But no, they've bashed head up to this point. It is difficult to know, Joe. It's very difficult.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. There's been so much mad stuff going on. across football, as we've been discussing, racing in a very different way, and rugby in the last 24, 48 hours. I rarely know in a few days like it. It's been bonkers.
You're shook. You're shook is what you're telling me.
I think the issue with the France thing is the fact that they're coming out with absolutes pretty much every second day. Right. They were utterly convinced as of the end of last week that this COVID-19 outbreak, and maybe it has, maybe it hasn't, but they were utterly convinced that the source of all this was an unnamed coach who had been flitting backwards and forwards between the French 7 squad, which had been similarly infected, and the 15s. They insisted that Galthié hadn't left the bubble, and then 48 hours later, they admit, oh, well, actually, he did leave the bubble, but he wore a mask the whole time, and it's grand. The lads went out to eat waffles in Rome, but it's okay. They were all retested when they came back. They aren't exactly covering themselves in glory here, and there's a great phrase I saw on one of the publications today saying that the flies have moved from one donkey to another. They've switched from Galthié to Serge Simon, who's the assistant, or not the assistant, sorry, he's the vice president of the French Rugby Federation, and he's essentially in charge of the COVID-19 protocols within the French squad, and the attention's now gone to him. And essentially, he now looks like he's possibly the most expendable person in all of this and could be the one to pay the price for it. As regards them pulling out, I can't see them doing it at this stage, but there's more pressure on the Six Nations organisers to perhaps award a bonus point victory by way of Scotland for that match, because the way France have conducted themselves around this ain't great.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter either way. It's Wales's grand slam to lose. I mean, we all know that. Billy Holland, one of the great servants, 14 seasons with Munster.
Absolutely, yeah. Billy Holland announcing today that he's going to retire at the end of this season. The 35-year-old, sorry, as you mentioned, Joe, spent 14 seasons with Munster. He's the province's second most capped player of all time. He'll get close to Donegal O'Callaghan's record of 268 caps, but I don't think he'll surpass it now at this stage. But Holland says he wanted to retire while still playing well. In fact, he played just this past weekend. Holland was named in a handful of Ireland squads over the years, but won just one senior cap, that coming in an autumn 2016 victory over Canada at the Aviva.
There's a text in Adrian saying, lads, come on, you have to discuss Redknapp, Roy. What was the Adrian Barry take on this? You enjoyed it. Let's start. I mean, it's very trendy to say, this is just cliched and I don't like it. But the truth is, you thought it was electric and you've watched it, I would guess, 6 to 12 times since.
It wouldn't be far off the lower end of that, I'd say, easily enough. They, you're partly hamstrung by the fact that it's 5.5 minutes long, Joe. That's the difficulty there. Listen, it's gold dust to watch. I'm sure they all know it. I think you were saying earlier on that, I don't want to be putting words in your mouth. What I felt was that Roy was very relaxed, had the wooden spoon out and was poking.
I was saying, actually, it's funny, it's weird how we all interpret things differently. I was saying by Dave Jones telling Redknapp to take a breath, he was almost suggesting to the viewer that, you know, geez, it's Redknapp who's out of control here and Roy is just, you know, calmly sitting there, which was not the case at all.
Well, no, sorry. That's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly how I read it. I thought Roy was very controlled.
Oh, did you?
And making his points and sort of in a non-usual sort of, there's a bit of a rantiness that goes on with him, but I felt it wasn't quite that. He felt to be almost like talking through the chair. It was very respectful. And I did think that Jamie Redknapp was out of control. I thought that his pitch was gone. He was jumping in. Even at one point, I think Graeme Souness was talking and Jamie was in over the top of him. I thought he had lost it. I mean, it was the ultimate insult for the presenter to go, you know, it was like, walk it off, big guy. Nobody wants to hear that.
I know. Yeah. Richie, I'm not going to ask you about it because I know your views on this situation and frankly...
Joe, what did you thought that Roy had lost the run of himself a bit, did you?
Oh, I thought he was right. I thought he could have done with taking a breath as well, yeah. But maybe he's more used to being in that position than Redknapp. It's probably the angriest I've ever seen Redknapp on TV. It's definitely not the angriest I've ever seen Roy on TV.
No, or in close proximity.
Well, like, yeah.
Take a breath there, Roy. Would you ever think about that when you were down
Jesus,
to Olympia that night?
You know, like, I mean, it's force of nature stuff, so, I mean... I'd say Dave Jones doesn't sleep most Saturday nights. You know what I mean? He's like, oh my God, what's happening tomorrow?
Oh, he's on. And he's got the beard growing, the hair's out of control.
Yeah.
He's going wild on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's not a good mix.
Yeah, it's very sick. What do you mean Micah Richards isn't booked? That's our only chance of keeping this thing on a level. So there's football this evening, Rich?
Yeah, Everton boss Carlo Ancelotti admits to being worried by tonight's Premier League meeting with Southampton. Despite last week's Merseyside derby victory at Anfield, Everton have claimed just a solitary point from 5 home games since the turn of the year. Kickoff at Goodison is at 8. Some team news on this one. No Seamus Coleman involved tonight for Everton, neither in the starting 11 nor on the bench. Tom Davies and James Rodriguez also missing for the hosts tonight. We'll keep our fingers crossed that the Coleman news is not that bad, because there is mixed news already today on the injury front for Stephen Kenny ahead of this month's World Cup qualifiers. Jack Byrne definitely out. The Apoel Nicosia midfielder is facing 3 months on the sidelines after undergoing back surgery, but Callum Odeta is back in contention for the games with Serbia and Luxembourg. He's returned to training with Bristol City, having not featured since St. Stephen's Day. We already know that John Egan and James McLean are going to be missing those games.
Pascal Gauzère had a difficult afternoon, to say the least, at the Principality Stadium. And interestingly, I think there's a good thing. They have come out and just held their hands up and said, we made a mistake. And I think suddenly everyone's like, oh, fair enough.
Yeah, not him immediately, but the referee's chief, Joel Jutka, Pascal Gauzère, admitting to making some high-profile errors during Wales' Six Nations win over England. The French official allowed 2 controversial first-half tries to stand as Wayne Pivak's side secured the Triple Crown with a 40 points to 24 victory over England in Cardiff. Referee's chief, Joel Jutka, told this morning's Midi Olympique that Gauzère had confided in him that he had made mistakes during the course of the game.
Just some text in, I mean... It's worth giving both sides of the story for sure. This is out of control. You've too much time in your hands. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I'm not a real horse racing fan, but I fully support Gordon Elliott. Lads, I know journos love a scandal, but get off the cancel culture. Elliott is a decent guy. He's regarded as a man who looks after horses. Someone else. It's a pathetic non-story. Do you lads not eat burgers? Silly hypocrites. I don't, for the record, but I don't think that's the point either. It's a disgusting image, but he didn't hurt the animal, says somebody else. Get a grip, says somebody. At worst, it was inappropriate. Are you that stuck for a programme topic? Move on. Don't make it a national incident. I don't think we have that within our power. I think that ship has sailed. And you might want to think about why that might be already. What a load of rubbish. Nobody I know today is talking about Elliot. And on it goes. So there are some of the texts coming in for sure. We'll move on. So Barcelona.
Yeah, they say they're cooperating with authorities. This is becoming a recurring theme tonight. Following the arrest of their former president, Josep Maria Bartomeu, and several other senior club officials are being questioned as part of an investigation into corruption and money laundering. Also under the spotlight is a smear campaign against current and former players who were critical of Bartomeu last year. The presidential race for the club currently nearing its conclusion as well.
Mm. That just seems to be going from bad to worse, Adrian.
The Barcelona situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that stuff today was weird, wasn't it?
Mm.
I was not something I was expecting today, I have to say, but it's the whole scenario was weird. I'm telling you, Joe, we've reached peak COVID at this point. It's between referees and in all sports and that stuff and everything else, it's all gone a bit bonkers on us.
Later on, after 8 o'clock, you're going to hear Brian O'Driscoll really sing the praises of Craig Casey. Thought he made an excellent debut, really promising on a whole host of levels. We'll play that obviously after 8 o'clock. He's gone back to provinces. One of those players gone back to provinces. There is Munster Connacht this weekend.
Yeah, small matter of that, and Ulster Leinster as well. Casey, one of 13 players who's been released from the Ireland camp to play for the provinces this week. The Munster scrum half, as you mentioned there, Joe, made his international debut off the bench in the win over Italy on Saturday. Interestingly, he's the only one of the match day 23 from Rome on Saturday that's returned to their province. Andrew Conway, Bundy Aki, Ross Byrne and Josh van der Fleer are among some of the others returning to their provinces. 23 men staying on with the Ireland camp over the course of a training camp on Thursday and Friday. Alan Quinlan was on this morning's OTBAM, and he discussed the issue of Joey Carberry and whether he should be parachuted into the Ireland squad for the remaining Six Nations games.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, and I think I'd be more cautious, and I think most Irish rugby people would be, that give him a couple of more weeks of being involved with Munster, putting on the boots, doing the warm-ups, all that match preparation, because of the nature of the injury that he had and the way he broke down the last time. It's always going to be a risk. Him being on the coming off the bench the other night was a risk. I think they've taken a long time, and they've probably taken an extra period of time to make sure. So if he's fit and ready, maybe he goes back in and trains with them. I don't know, but I wouldn't be in the same position as rushing him back. Tadhg Furlong is a world-class player who, I think there was a real need to get him back in there. I'd be a bit more cautious with Joey Carberry, to be fair, and I think they will be too, because there's a bigger picture of trying to get him back up and running, and there'll probably be a nervousness around if he broke down with Ireland, or God forbid something happened to him in Ireland training. It would be a real negative.
It sure would. You can catch all of Alan Quinlan. He was on this morning with Jaron Owen on OTBAM every weekday morning. It's our breakfast sports show here on Off the Ball. You can get it on podcast, on social channels, on the OTB Sports app. The Joey Carberry 17 minutes off the bench against Cardiff at the weekend, Adrian, I think has just calmed the conversation around the crisis at 10 and the lack of succession plan at 10. And there's now a sense, well, look, given time, and suddenly if he's around in 2023, things will be much better. It's amazing how that change has just happened with a flick of a switch.
Definitely. Look, at definitely. I mean, are we all in? It's hard to know what's happening with 10. Like, what happens in 2 years, 7 months, and 1 week's time when we kick off Rugby World Cup? Like,
we put in unconvincing win against a lesser side, and then we go into crisis mode. I think that's the general plan, isn't it?
Well, listen, why break with the habit of a lifetime? But like, we know, even in terms of the game of the weekend, we know obviously Johnny Sexton was great. He was brilliant, and we know what he's about. Nothing we didn't know that really come out of that. But yeah, even in relation to Carberry, like, are we all in on him then? Is he the guy that we're all in on, actually?
So.
And then once that he comes in, that he goes straight into 10, Sexton takes a bit of a backseat. We give him as much exposure at that level as we can, given the time frame that we're dealing with. And Billy Burns is then like his backup will be hitting the World Cup, Joe, when Harry Byrne, who we're all talking about now as a pup, will be 24.
Yeah.
Ben Healy will be exact same scenario, 24. So they'll be right in the sort of age grade where there's no reason that they shouldn't play, other than they won't have experience. So, we take great comfort from Joey Carberry coming back, but is that the plan? Like, we're all in on him again. We're all in on one number 10, and we've absolutely no backup plan.
Well,
unless it's Billy Burns, who at that point, like, we're still not sure about Billy Burns, you know, like, that the jury is out, to say the least. And at that point, we'll be making a Rugby World Cup debut at the age of 29.
Yeah, it takes the pressure though off who's going to be starting 10 potentially. That was the big worry, you know. You
don't
know
if he's fit to start,
yes,
and then if he remains fit through the tournament. Like, the one thing that we surely have learned at this point is let's have a succession plan.
We have learned nothing, and that's the plan. We'll park it there. Thanks so much, Adrian Barry, Richie McCormack, thank you. Brian O'Driscoll on the way after 8 o'clock. We're talking about the Gordon Elliott situation next.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.